The Bible study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary. And it's your turn. Ask the pastor. Phones are open at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. On the line with us, Pastor Larry Troxell, not so retired, because he appears on the Bible study. And on Ask the Pastor, how are you today?
I am fine, and you're right, I'm not so retired because I'm preaching almost every Sunday.
He's the unretired retiree, that's what it is.
Yeah. That's the way it is with many of us. Mm-hmm.
How's things in Quincy?
Wet, but otherwise wonderful.
Mm-hmm. A question was called in during the past hour, and I'm going to pitch it to you here. A lady wants to know what you think about churches selling stuff in the narthex.
Oh, my. That is really an interesting one. My personal view, and this is my personal view, because really there is not very much in Scripture that says you shall not do fundraisers in the narthex. But my personal view is this, and it starts with a question. What witness are we giving to both members and visitors when the first thing they run into when they enter a building is, we want your money for this, for that, for the other thing? If you have to run the gauntlet of hands out for money before you get to the worship space, I think that's depicting a very confused set of priorities, and it's making it difficult for people to enter with the attitude that David reflects in Psalm 26. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Hmm. Wrong psalm, but same, but it is that scripture verse.
Yeah. Now, is that a decision that the pastor makes in a given church, or
what? It had better be made by the decision-making body in the congregation. The pastor certainly should have some input on that, but whenever I have the opportunity, I want to uphold the proper placement, both of the pastoral office and of the voters assembly or whatever in the local congregation. And a lot of what goes on within a building is determined or should be determined by the decision making body of the congregation. It should be their policy, because pastors come and go. Even though I was in my parish for, last parish for 28 years, pastors do come and go. Mm-hmm. And there really isn't anything that I've found again in Scripture that says, pastor, you make the point on that. The only authority a pastor has really is the authority of the word.
I've been to some churches where they might have a little bookstore or sell some Christian music, that kind of thing.
Yes, or they, to support the school, they're selling these script cards, and one group or another's having a bake sale and this sort of thing. There's nothing in Scripture that forbids it.
Uh-huh.
But what is the first thing anyone coming to worship encounters? And I would hope it would be something that would be helping them to prepare for meeting with God in His Word and sacraments, rather than saying, I want your money, I want your money, I want your money.
What about Jesus' righteous anger in the temple, overturning the tables? Is there a lesson there for us on this topic?
There is, and it's a lesson by example, by description, not by prescription. But
well, what's the distinction?
It does point to a confused set of priorities.
What's that distinction? You said
there's no statement in Scripture that says, go and do thou likewise.
I see.
Jesus, on two occasions, had to do that at the temple in Jerusalem. And on neither occasion, one is just after in John 2, just after the miracle, his first miracle, in the wedding at Cana. Then he goes to Jerusalem for Passover and finds all these money changers and merchants and everything in the outer courts of the temple and throws them out. The second time is during Holy Week, Monday of Holy Week. The Gospels tell us that on the day that we know as Palm Sunday, he entered Jerusalem, went to the temple, looked around, and left. The next morning when he came in, he cleaned that crew out again. But on neither occasion does he say to his followers, or does Scripture tell us, go and do thou likewise. Mm-hmm. And so without a specific command, we cannot make a law. But we do need to double-check our priorities as a congregation, as groups and societies within a congregation. It's wonderful to have scripturally, doctrinally sound, you know, Lutheran confessional, scripturally sound literature available for the members and for visitors. It's wonderful to have Christ-centered music available, recordings available for people to purchase and take home or to give to others. But what's our primary purpose? And our primary purpose is the gathering of God's people around His Word and sacraments. And we really shouldn't let anything interfere with that.
505-7850-1800-730-2727. It's Ask the Pastor with Pastor Larry Troxell. Our phones are open to you. Well, here's a controversial story that I don't know what the takeaway is. I don't know what to make of this.
Okay.
And they say looks don't matter. Well, that's the theory anyway, and it's being debunked by one church in England that has seen its congregation size double since appointing a pretty young blonde as its new curate. St. Mary the Virgin in leafy Caterham, Surrey, have been experiencing a decline in attendance over the years, but the arrival of Steph Nataraja has heralded the start of a boom time for the church. Just 6 months ago, the church's attendance stood at around 75, and Steph was making more money as a manager for NHS. She opted for a massive drop in salary to take up the church post, but so far has no regrets about her decision, as the church is, in her own words, thriving. In the last 6 months, attendance has increased, and there are now around 150 people showing up each Sunday to hear the 29-year-old preach. According to the UK newspaper Daily Mail, Steph encounters the occasional shocked looks, she says, when she tells people she is the new curate, but she has seen some advantages in that. She said, if people look and say, goodness me, that's not what I expected, and I listen to what I say, and then listen to what I say, then that's great, she said. She said the hardest part, perhaps, is staying grounded amid all the flattering attention and remembering that it is all about God. She says, you're always treading a fine line between using the person that you are and what God has given you to do, a good thing in His name, and not to attract all the attention for yourself and for it to become a sort of personality cult, she said. One parishioner, 52-year-old Andrew Spencer, is very pleased with Steph's arrival. He told the newspaper, it's great to see an attractive young lady at church. She's not just a pretty face, though. She's intelligent and a great listener. That sounds like a distraction to me.
And unfortunately, it's a clear violation of Holy Scripture, so then we've got a major problem. The problem being this, that if or that when you take God's word as it stands, the ordination of women is forbidden. And her very appearance in the role of an ordained pastor, whatever, just flies in the face of Holy Scripture. So she may be a great looker, but what she's doing, it does not agree with the Word of God.
And it's not what God intended.
No, not at all. And, you know, it goes back to something I believe Mark Hawkinson said in the last hour. Or no, I take that back. It goes back to what something Chuck Colson was saying on the Focus on the Family segment.
Focus on the Family, yeah.
That we human beings do a great job of justifying our own positions on the basis of what we want and what we like, rather than on the basis of what does God's Word say. And it's again one of those cases where somebody's trying to use the supposed ends to justify the means. And unfortunately, this young lady is going to age, and then I wonder what's going to happen.
505-7850-1-800-730-2727.
You have really put me into two interesting positions this morning, because on that first one, if anybody else here in Quincy is listening to me, they're going to be members of some of the congregations here in town who are going to be very upset with me. And on the second note, there are I've already been in this position on several occasions where persons in other denominations that ordain women will be furious with me. And that's what happens when you stand with the Word of God.
505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Another story for you to respond to. One of the youngest megachurch pastors in the country on Tuesday told discredited doomsday preacher Harold Camping to, quote, go away. It's over, Harold. Like, you've got to go away now. For good, man. Off you go. Stephen Furtick, pastor of Elevation Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, said via Twitter on Tuesday. We got pastors tweeting. Furtick's comments come one day after radio preacher Camping took to the family radio airwaves predicting that the new date for the rapture is October 21st, 2011, instead of May 21st, 2011, as he originally touted. The judgment day on May 21st was, quote, spiritual, but on October 21st, the world will literally be obliterated and come to an end, said Camping on Monday in his first public statement since the May 21st rapture dud. You preached last Sunday. Did you mention this at church?
I had a question on it in Bible class. I'm currently doing Sunday morning supply in a small congregation out in the country about 35 miles from here. So Bible class has people in it from like fourth or fifth grade on up to very elderly people. And it was one of the 10 or 11-year-olds who raised the question. And we ended up spending most of the hour just talking about what Scripture really does say about end times, and how far that radio preacher is removed from what Scripture says. He claims to be preaching the Word of God faithfully, but by setting dates, he is actually calling Jesus Christ a liar. And I guess I would agree with that tweet. It's time for him to go away and be quiet, because he is not proclaiming the Word of God faithfully. Now, if we were still under the Old Covenant, he should be taken out and stoned. Well, we're not going to do that. I mean, the New Testament,
because you're saying he's
a different way.
You're saying he's a false prophet.
Yes, he is a false prophet. And the one thing that the New Testament does say to us in Romans 16 is avoid them. People should just totally tune him out. And, of course, there will be some who will stand with him, because that's the way the sinful human mind works. But he has been as completely discredited as any other date setters, and there have been any number of them all through the last hundreds of years. Now, the one thing where I might come close to agreeing with him is in the aftermath of nothing happening really on Sunday or Saturday or whenever it was, Saturday, I guess. The one thing where I might come close to agreeing with him is, yes, God has already passed judgment on this world. That took place when our Savior died for us on Calvary. That was God's full and complete dealing with human sin. And by the grace of God, all of that judgment was poured out on His Son, our Savior, Christ Jesus. So as we look to each day, and as we look to the future, as we look to the end of our own lives, as we look to the end of the entire creation, we have nothing to fear. And unfortunately, so many of these people that run around setting dates turn out to be fear-mongers. The whole Left Behind series that has made such a splash in our country and elsewhere is really, it generates a lot of fear. And our Lord said, when these things begin to happen, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. We have something to which we can look forward with confidence and joy, eager anticipation, and not one bit of fear because of what God did for us through His Son, our Savior, on the cross, and then by raising Him from the dead 3 days later.
Our phones are open at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Darlene, you're on KFUO with Pastor Larry Troxell.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's very sad, though, that the people that sold everything, and to, you know, it breaks my heart. I've been there. I've done it, you know. But my comment is about female pastors. You know, even in the day when I went to a church that didn't understand the scripture correctly, I just had a feeling inside that, you know, female pastor, it just didn't feel right. And I know we don't go on feeling, but at that time I did.
Mm-hmm.
And now when I see on a marquee or whatever, I hear of a female pastor or co-pastor with her husband, I think, okay, that's scripturally wrong. What else is scripturally wrong in their church? And that's
an excellent
comment.
Point, by the way. That is excellent. I applaud you.
Oh, well, thank you. It's taken a long time to get there and that, but, you know, God is faithful, and mm-hmm. thank goodness for that. Otherwise, Lord knows where I'd be today.
Hey, Darlene,
thank you, gentlemen.
Don't leave yet. Darlene, you said you had been there and done that.
Yeah.
Selling all your... You mean you got caught up in some kind of end times prediction once?
Oh, more than once. For 25 years, I was in Word Faith, and I'm sure that tells you everything. Mm-hmm. And the last time, and the spiritual group I was in, I mean, it was just a mess. It really is. And continues to be. But I think probably the beginning of the real end for me was when the male pastor stood up one Sunday morning at the church and said we were little gods.
Oh, my, yes.
Yeah, that was... the female pastor thing wasn't setting well anyway, but then I started listening. I had been actually for a short time listening to KFUO, but then that's when I started getting serious. I'm thinking, you know, it had to be the Holy Spirit, because in my mm-hmm. confused and muddled brain and lack of knowledge, I didn't know that it was completely wrong. Mm-hmm. And he tried to explain it away. Well, we're little gods, but it's with a little G.
You know, that sounds very familiar to what Satan said to Eve in Genesis chapter 3. You will be like God.
Well, that scripture immediately came to mind, and when I'm not known to keep my mouth shut, it caused a lot of heartache and headache, and it continues to this day, but, you know, God's with us. God's got us all back in church.
That's right, and your witness to the truth does touch others and will influence them and give an opening for the Holy Spirit. So, wow, I'm just really thrilled that you called in and told us this.
Well, I just had to comment about the female pastor thing. I go walking in the evening many times, and, you know, that's another miracle. God has just raised me from mm-hmm. near death, actually.
Wow.
But, you know, and on a marquee, and I understand, I don't want to name the church, mm-hmm. I don't want to be that mm-hmm. go mm-hmm. that route, but it's a female head senior pastor, and I'm thinking, that's my first thought every day is, what else are you teaching wrong?
Mm-hmm. See, the Lord has been at work just giving you a greater spiritual sensitivity. I have a brother who is in a different Lutheran denomination that does ordain women, and I just pray every day that one of these days the Holy Spirit will wake them up, but we'll just have to wait and see.
God is faithful. And
There is one other thing I wanted to say to you, and that is that I share with you your concern for those who follow this person and disposed of all of their worldly possessions and things. This will be an opportunity for Christians to perhaps reach out to them with loving care and concern and hopefully draw them back to the truth.
Well, early 70s, my husband and I were literally on the street because of it.
Oh.
We sold everything, got rid of everything, and God, like I said, been faithful. It's been a long road because we're so hard-headed and just determined we were right. But
well, I'm glad you found KFUO, darling.
Yeah,
we can continue to be a resource.
And lift, unlike the Pharisees at the end of John chapter 9, you're no longer blind.
Well,
by God's
grace, but we'll work on it. I'll let God.
Thanks, darling.
Thank you.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. David, you're on KFUO with Pastor Larry Troxell.
I'm going to somewhat take a hard line, but, I when I look at Scripture, it says, nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man.
Mm-hmm.
And she was created to be a helpmeet. And I think what this nation needs is good mothers and wives for the home. Not necessarily professional women, although there are some.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that God initially created women to be a helpmeet for men, to have children, to be in the home, and to take care of the home. And that's been so perverted by the past 30, 40 years through equal rights, totally being equal with the man.
Mm-hmm.
And now we even have women who want to be leaders in the church, and all that has evolved from that, from equal rights amendment, or I'm just as good as a man. Well, we have different roles.
Right.
And when a woman tries to usurp authority over the men, you're going to have problems.
Yeah.
So that's basically what I just wanted to call in and comment about.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Pastor? Yeah, I really appreciate that comment. And this is where we have to be careful, because where Scripture is speaking, and especially in the area of women usurping authority over the men, we look at that and say, well, that applies within the church. It does not apply in other areas. I thank God for women who were teachers in the Lutheran elementary school that I attended who never sought to become pastors, who never sought to usurp authority over men, but treasured their role and were great teachers for us small children. And there are other great roles that women can use that are within what Scripture says.
That's Pastor Larry Troxell, and Jan has a question for you, the other side of the break, and Dee Dee is waiting in line. We'll get to those calls. Phones remain open at 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. It's Ask the Pastor.
I've heard business people complain that nonprofits don't respond in timely ways to needs and opportunities. I believe that's true. Concordia Seminary strives to instill responsiveness in our graduates. Responsiveness to the needs of congregations and responsiveness to the needs of our communities and world. Responsiveness is a seminary core value, and it's a great commission value.
We love hearing from listeners as they comment on what they're hearing on KFUO Radio. This letter is from a listener of The Essence. I turned on your program last Thursday in the middle of a wonderful three-movement piano piece performed by Mark Laverty. Could you let me know what the exact piece is and the composer? Thank you so much for your information, and thank you for your show. It's signed Sandy. Well, it's the music of Bach with Mark Laverty. You can find me anytime at dsummers@kfuo.org.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The dangerous chemical abortion drug RU-46 has killed another woman. This time, she was only 16 years old. She died from a deadly infection caused by toxic shock. It's killed several women in the United States, but I fear most aren't reported. The maker of this deadly pill admits dozens of women have died in Europe alone. In the early 80s, a certain feminine hygiene product was causing toxic shock syndrome in women. It got lots of media attention, and women were told how to avoid this potentially fatal condition. But the politicization of abortion means uninformed women will continue to die because they don't know of the dangers of chemical abortion. Let's protect women and their unborn babies. We must take RU-46 off the market.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Deliverance? I'm Steve Coleman with a closer look. U.S. officials are seeking the release of an American who's been detained in North Korea since November, reportedly for trying to spread Christianity. State Department spokesman Mark Toner says a U.S. delegation, led by Robert King, U.S. Special Envoy for North Korean human rights issues, is in North Korea this week assessing the need for food aid.
He'll also raise the status of our American citizen who's currently being held in a North Korean jail and reiterate our desire to see him released immediately on humanitarian grounds.
South Korean media have reported that Eddie Jun, a Korean-American with business interests in North Korea, was detained for alleged Christian proselytizing. Earlier this month, the State Department said Jun was being well cared for and had been permitted to speak to his family by phone. Members of Bethel Church in Irvine, California, say Jun used to worship there but left a decade ago. I'm Steve Coleman.
The price of freedom is never cheap. We remember wars by the number of casualties, the prisoners of war, the destruction. Hi, I'm Phyllis Wallace. This Memorial Day, we remember the Vietnam War by looking past the conflict to Vietnam today. You might learn some new things through the eyes of a vet, a businessman, and a gentleman with a mission organization bringing hope to that country. Next time, Woman to Woman.
Saturday mornings at 9:30 on KFUO Radio.
We have several short-form programs and quick sound bites on our website at kfuo.org. You'll find our sound bites at the center of our homepage, and the short-form programs are buttons to the right-hand side. The short-form programs are no more than a couple minutes long, and you'll find these inspirational programs informative and uplifting. Programs like the Meyer Minute, Front Porch Parenting, Do You Have a Minute, and By the Way. If you miss them on the radio or just want to listen to them again, click on to KFUO.org and listen today.
It's Ask the Pastor on the Bible Study on KFUO Radio. Pastor Larry Troxell joins us from Quincy, Illinois. Our phones are open at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Jan, you're on KFUO with Pastor Larry Troxell. Good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Hi, Pastor. Thanks for taking my call. My question is about prophecy. I believe that Deuteronomy 13 has a word for Mr. Camping and our response to Mr. Camping. And it says, Deuteronomy 18:22, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come true or come to pass, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him. And then there's a larger question I thought of while Pastor Hawkinson was conducting our Bible study earlier. He said, I'm not a prophet by any stretch. I think not only do we avoid heretics, but we oppose heretics with what God says. And to my mind, that's prophecy. Not so much foretelling as forthtelling. You understand what I'm saying?
You have said it exactly right. The way most people think of prophecy is talking about the future. But the scriptural use of the word prophet is, it speaks of one who speaks the word of God to other people. That's why, for example, we look at Elijah and Elisha, and they are properly called prophets. They did not, that I can find anywhere in Scripture, foretell future events, but they certainly confronted people with both law and gospel. They foretold, that's the great word that you used, foretold the word of God. And that's exactly right.
And the reason I make that, I'm trying to make this point, is I think of Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, where he talks about the spiritual gifts and how they are properly applied.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes the point that, now I want all of you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The
yes.
one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, because you're speaking both law and gospel, and the Holy Spirit is able to work through those words and accomplish what he will.
Exactly right. You are solidly right. And I would simply... I understand what Brother Hawkinson was trying to say when he said he wasn't a prophet, but every pastor does carry out the work of prophecy every time they preach or teach or one way or another speak the word of God. And that's what we're doing here.
Yeah. I thank God for y'all, and I pray for y'all. It's especially since we seem to be in storm season.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. My roommate from seminary many years ago, his family lived and still does live in Cullman, Alabama, and their church was severely damaged. But family members and relatives, there was some property damage, but none of them were hurt, and we're so grateful for that. And our hearts go out now for the people in Joplin, for the people in Oklahoma, all over the South, right?
And this is just an aside, and I'll hang up.
Mm-hmm.
Some people ran up to Jesus talking about, did you hear about the tower at Siloam?
Yes.
How it fell on people and they were killed? And Jesus never really addressed, you know, the slipshod workmanship, or, you know, maybe somebody cut corners on the... No, he said, unless you repent, you may likewise. Do you think anybody in Jerusalem is more or less sinful than those people who died?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, God is simply working to remind the entire world that, number one, we are accountable to him. Number two, this world will not stand forever. And our security always is found in Jesus Christ. Now, I do thank God for the people who have come through these disasters and have spoken positively about the confidence they've had in God's care and protection, and that even though they've lost everything, they know the Lord's going to continue to be with them, and that's a really powerful witness.
Yeah, I don't want to suggest that this is a judgment of God.
Not on specific people. It's just a reminder that this is a sinful world in which bad things happen.
Right, exactly.
Jan,
well,
thanks for
Pastor.
The call.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Dee Dee, you've been holding patiently. You're on the Bible study on KFUO Radio with Pastor Larry Troxell.
Hi. Excuse me. I have a question, and I don't know whether it will get answered or not, because it does pertain to something in the Lutheran Church.
We'll try.
Our church has a ladies' Bible class. a former pastor retired, and when he retired, a female took over the Bible class. It was my opinion that a Bible class should be taught by someone from the seminary, not someone that had maybe taken a couple classes out at the seminary. I don't know whether you will answer that because it's pertaining to the Lutheran Church or not, but I dropped out of the Bible class because I wanted to be taught by my pastor on Sunday morning. I went to the Sunday morning Bible class. Now, do I have a wrong opinion by saying that Bible should be taught by a person from the seminary rather than someone that may have taken a couple classes out at the seminary? I would appreciate that if you choose to answer it, and I don't know whether you can or not since it's pertaining to the Lutheran Church.
I'll be delighted to deal with that one.
Go right ahead, Pastor.
Surely.
Thank you.
First of all, Scripture does not state that only seminary-trained people are to be teaching the Bible class. In fact, in the book of Acts, we have the case of this gentleman named Apollos who was going around attempting to preach the gospel but didn't have everything just straight, so he was taken aside by a Christian couple, Priscilla and Aquila, husband and wife, who sat him down and straightened out his doctrine because they had been associates of the Apostle Paul. And then he became an even more powerful instrument in speaking the gospel. These were two laymen who had been instructed by Paul, but they were not considered apostles, and they were simply trained Christian laymen who had studied the scriptures. In a number of congregations, there are laymen who teach Bible classes, and I think we don't always accomplish this, but I believe the tendency still is that if it's a class of adults, it should be taught by a male. And these people have studied and prepared and are using scripturally sound study materials themselves, and perhaps are even meeting with the pastor before they teach so that they can be certain that what they're teaching is solid and straight with Scripture. Unfortunately, there are some lay people who don't always use the most scripturally sound study materials and sometimes can be misleading. And there I would hope that someone would intervene and try to direct them to a more scripturally sound set of references rather than just go on teaching things that may not be the truth. I will resist the tendency to say only seminary students and pastors should teach because that's not anywhere in Scripture. But on the other hand, if you are uncomfortable in a particular setting, and the person who's leading the study seems to be is becoming a roadblock between you and your spiritual feeding and growth, my goodness, you need to make the change that you did so that you are in a setting where you are growing once again. The most important thing is, number one, is what is being taught, is that in accordance with all of Scripture and the Lutheran confessions or not? If it is not, you need to be going to a different study. But if it is sound, then there is no danger. I hope that helps to answer the question.
So it's okay for a woman to lead a Bible study?
It'd be okay for a woman to lead a Bible study with other women. And I know that there will be some people that would disagree with me on that, but again, we still have to live with that scriptural statement where Paul says, I do not permit women to have authority over men. And that is particularly, that applies particularly within the church. Now, I probably will, am probably going to offend some that do have women teaching both men and women.
What if the woman's a deaconess? Does that matter?
I'm going to have to think about that one for a little while because in teaching, you see, and this is where you get into the whole area of can women read the scripture readings in the worship service?
Mm-hmm.
And I know there are churches that permit that, but the reading of the Word of God in a public worship service really is something that should be done only by men. And we have an organization affiliated with our church known as Ongoing Ambassadors for Christ. And the teenagers on an Ongoing Ambassadors for Christ weekend, the teenagers will take a significant role in the worship service. But OAFC itself forbids the girls in the group from reading the scripture readings or doing other things that would place them in a teaching position over adult men. And I applaud them for being that careful about it so that there is no offense raised for the work they do.
Sunday school is okay, though.
Sure, because you're teaching, even as if a woman's teaching teenagers or children, that's not an adult male.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank God for those women who taught the Sunday school classes when I was growing up and the women who taught in the grade school when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
There are places for women to serve.
Pastor,
in a very godly way.
Pastor Larry Troxell is our guest. Our phones remain open at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. A little bit of whimsy here. I received a pitch from a publicist about a new book titled My First 7 Days in Heaven by author Andy Smith. It states, fun may not be the first word that comes to mind when one describes heaven, but fun is exactly what Andy Smith claims that it should be, and why not? If the timeline for existence in heaven is eternity, then it most definitely should be fun. While streets of gold and mansions in the sky may be inviting to some, they are not how Andy plans to spend his time in eternity. In fact, he says that such accounts make him want to go to the gym and eat his vegetables. They say, yeah, Andy is obviously a fun, loving kind of guy who not only enjoys life but intends to enjoy heaven even more. And keeping this in mind, he has had a fresh revelation of what heaven will be and the rules that apply there. The basis for all these rules is one fundamental fact: God is love. If God is love, then every rule established there must be based upon that love. So what are the rules? How can the utilization of the rules create the fulfillment of one's dreams? Join Andy on his journey in My First 7 Days in Heaven, a humorous, heartwarming account of what heaven may be like. In his version, the residents of heaven live out the reality of their dreams and the fulfillment of their fantasies day after day for all eternity.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm a little concerned when he has, received a fresh revelation, unquote. The only thing we can really base any preview, if you will, of heaven on is not what has popped into somebody's mind, but what Scripture really says. And from what Scripture really says, heaven's going to be even more than fun, but it's not going to be through the fulfillment of my earthly bound fantasies, which are always tainted by sin. We are going to be praising God. We are going to have something very useful and enjoyable to do. For Scripture speaks of our eternal life being lived out in the new heavens and the new earth that God will create. And envision, if you will, Eden recreated, but perhaps even better than perfect. And beyond that, we really cannot tell, because what Scripture does tell us basically is a list of things that won't be there. You know, no sin, no dying, no sickness, no sorrow, no sadness, no tears, all that sort of thing. But constantly being in the presence of our God and Savior, in their visible presence. And that is just overwhelming from my mind, overwhelmingly positive. Heaven's going to be fun, yes, but not just in the fulfillment of my earthly desires. That's getting pretty close to the, was it 70 or 72 virgins that the Muslims are desiring?
Yeah, I was thinking along those same lines.
Yeah, I'm going to back away from that. You know, he gave himself away with, he had received a fresh revelation. That's scary.
Now, and he makes it sound like heaven's all about us. And isn't it all about Jesus?
Yes. You, the biblical descriptions, we're gathered around the throne. And that puts the focus on our God and Savior. And the Lamb will be their shepherd and will wipe away every tear from their eyes. It's always about what our Savior is going to be doing for us and with us timelessly forever. And that's far better than my fantastic dreams.
505-7850-1-800-730-2727. A news story perhaps you'd like to respond to. It says here, scores of pro-life groups are calling for a public boycott of food giant PepsiCo due to their partnership with Senomix, a biotech company using aborted fetal cells in the research and development of artificial flavor enhancers. Pepsi is funding the research and development and paying royalties to Senomix, which uses HEK-293 human embryonic kidney cells to produce flavor enhancers for Pepsi beverages. Senomix boasts they have over 800,000 unique flavors for foods. The human tongue recognizes only 5, salty, savory, sweet, sour, and bitter. But cells expressing certain proteins produce a chemical signal when flavors are introduced, which determines if it's the proper flavor. The aborted fetal cells are not in the product itself. There are many options PepsiCo could be using instead of aborted fetal cells, noted Debbie Vinage, president of Children of God for Life, the group spearheading the boycott.
Okay, a couple things there. And that, first of all, it reminds me of what Paul wrote about when he had to deal with the question of, is it all right to eat meat that came from an idol temple? And under our Christian freedom, under the freedom of the gospel, we are free to eat, drink, consume, in moderation, just about anything. But if someone raises an objection, then where that objection is being raised, we may want to be careful in our use of our Christian freedom. So for these people who are that concerned about where PepsiCo is spending its money, that would then be Paul would say that would be sin for them to continue using those products. However, if I were to tell my wife she cannot drink a certain brand of soft drink from now on, I would have a real battle on my hands, because she'd be saying, show me in Scripture where it says I cannot do this. So this becomes the time for the Holy Spirit-guided Christian conscience to be very careful with how we use our Christian freedom, so that on the one hand we don't offend people whose consciences have been sensitized, but on the other hand we don't want to label something sin which Scripture has not caused, which Scripture has not called sin. And consuming a particular brand of soft drink, Scripture has not called that a sin. So it's the delicate balance. You know, the living the Christian life is always walking a tightrope. Or to use another analogy, you don't want to run into the ditch either on the left side of the road or the right side of the road. We got to stay going straight down the middle. And so that becomes a matter of the instructed Christian conscience.
Finally this morning, Focus on the Family is expanding its efforts to help parents protect their children by teaming up with TV Guardian to provide clean entertainment choices for families. The organizations are working together to make the TV Guardian filter, a device that eliminates objectionable language, available to more families. TV Guardian is a small unit that, when connected to TV sets, automatically mutes all forms of profanity and inappropriate language from broadcast television, cable, satellite, and DVDs. Wow. TV Guardian was designed to work with programs and movies that would otherwise be enjoyable entertainment options for families if objectionable language were eliminated. Rich Bennett, Vice President of Focus on the Family's Family Strategy Office, sees these resources as vital in the effort to help families with the challenges presented by modern media.
Boy, if that works, that's a really neat device, and I applaud them for working with it. At the same time, again, here we're dealing with the Christian conscience and the role of mom and dad in the family. I don't really care to have my children listening to objectionable language or seeing objectionable scenes on a TV screen. Now, my kids are by this time adults, so I'm going to have to be sensitive about my grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, there comes a point in their lives where we have, and I'm not saying we just deliberately go out and expose them, but we do need to be talking to them constantly in language that's appropriate and understandable at their various ages about what we do say, what we do see, what we do hear, and what we don't, and why it's wrong. Protecting them is fine, but there also has to be instruction involved. I think it's a marvelously interesting device. I wonder how much would actually ever be visible or audible if that filter's really working.
You can take a look at it at FocusOnTheFamily.com website. In fact, it's FocusOnTheFamily.com/safety.
Hmm.
And you can take a look. They're making it available. They're selling it, apparently, at Focus on the Family.
Well, that's interesting. I appreciate their efforts. I don't want to get into a commercial for them, but I find that to be an interesting approach.
That's just a public service announcement. That's
there
all we're
we
doing
are.
Here.
Very
that's
good.
Right. Pastor Troxell, I want to thank you for being with us today. Thanks for participating with KFUO Radio. We really appreciate you.
Oh, listen, I really enjoy doing this. This is a great and very enjoyable time of my life. And I want to thank those people who called in today. We had a good selection of callers.
Yeah, some good topics. Thank you, sir.
God blessings to you, Paul, and to everyone at KFUO.
And that's Ask the Pastor. The Bible study is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. We thank you for listening. And be back tomorrow for Ask the Pastor and the Bible study on KFUO Radio.